Thank you for standing by. Good afternoon. My name is Sylvie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Silvercorp First Quarter Fiscal 2024 Financial Results Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star then number one on your telephone keypad. And if you would like to withdraw your question, please press star then number two. Thank you. And I would like to turn the conference over to Lon Shaver, Vice President, for opening remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Sylvie. On behalf of Silvercorp, I'd like to welcome everyone for joining our call today to discuss our first quarter fiscal 2024 financial results, which were released yesterday after market. A copy of the news release, the MD&A, and the financial statements for today's call are available on our website and SEDAR. Before we get started, I'm required to remind you that certain statements on today's call will contain forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws. Please review the cautionary statements included in our news release and presentation, as well as the risk factors described in our most recent 10Q and Form 40F and Annual Information Form. So we kicked off fiscal 2024 with a solid first quarter, with our mines delivering a strong performance in line with expectations. Revenue in the quarter was $60 million. That was down 6% compared to the prior year quarter due to a number of factors, notably a decrease of $3.4 million in silver and lead sales, a decrease of $3.9 million from lower realized lead and zinc prices, but those were offset by an increase of $2.6 million from a higher realized silver price and an increase of $700,000 from gold sales. Based on production levels and realized prices this quarter, silver was 59% of our revenues on a net basis. That was up from 54% in the first quarter of last year. Our Q1 net earnings attributable to equity shareholders were $9.2 million, or 5 cents per share. This compared to $10.2 million, or 6 cents a share for the same period last year. The main contributors to the slight decrease were a 5% and 9% decrease in silver and lead sold, respectively, and a 6% and 33% decrease in realized lead and zinc prices. Also, we had a foreign exchange loss of $2.2 million arising from the depreciation of the U.S. dollar against the Canadian dollar. These were offset by 6% and 8% increases in realized gold and silver prices, as well as a 36% increase in gold sales and a $1.1 million gain on investments. Our realized adjusted earnings for the quarter were $12.4 million or 7 cents a share, and this compared to $13.5 million or 8 cents a share for the same period last year. And just a reminder, the adjusted earnings is a supplemental non-GAAP measure intended to provide investors with another metric to better measure the performance of the underlying business, its continuing profitability and growth potential. Our cash flow from operating activities in the quarter was $28.9 million, down from $40.2 million in the prior year quarter due to the previously mentioned factors impacting revenue and net income. Also, $4.5 million in cash tax paid versus $2.3 in the prior year quarter, and a positive non-cash working capital contribution of approximately $5 million compared to $8.9 million in the prior year quarter. Capital expenditures totaled approximately $15.9 million in the quarter. That was up 2% from $15.5 million in the prior year, mainly due to increases in ramp development as well as investments in equipment and facilities at both operations. During this period, we also paid $2.2 million of dividends to shareholders. We ended the quarter with $200.6 million in cash and cash equivalents and short-term investments, down slightly from $203.3 million as of March, largely due to a negative translation impact arising from the depreciation of the RMB against the U.S. dollar. Just to note, this cash position does not include our investments in associates and other companies, which had a market value of $121.5 million as of June 30th. As previously reported, from a production standpoint, we mined 303,220 tons of ore and milled 295,095 tons of ore. That was up 1% and down 1% respectively compared to the same period last year. And we produced on a consolidated basis approximately 1.8 million ounces of silver, 1,600 ounces of gold, 17.8 million pounds of lead, and 6.8 million pounds of zinc in the quarter. These were decreases of 4%, 7%, and 2% respectively in silver, lead, and zinc over Q1 of fiscal 2023. The decrease in silver and lead production, as noted in the previously issued news release, primarily reflects a decrease in head grades at Ying, which is in line with the mining sequence and mineral reserves. At Ying, the production cost per ton of ore processed was $85.58 per ton. This is down 8% compared to Q1 of fiscal 2023. The all-in sustaining cost per ton of ore processed at Ying was $133.94, down 14% compared to Q1 of fiscal 2023. The decreases were mainly due to a 6% depreciation of the RMB against the U.S. dollar, but also a decrease of $3.2 million in sustaining capital expenditures. On the other hand, the production cost per ton processed at GC was $62.02. That's up 7% compared to Q1 of last year. And the all-in sustaining cost per ton of ore processed at GC was $90.94, up 11% compared to Q1 of fiscal 2023. The increase here was primarily due to more tunneling that was done and expensed during the quarter, as well as additional cost to run the XRT ore sorting system, which has recently put in place, but obviously offset by the depreciation of the RMB, as mentioned. Overall, the cash cost per ounce of silver net of byproduct credits was a negative 31 cents U.S. in the first quarter, compared to a negative $1.57 in the prior year quarter. The increase reflects a decrease of $4.3 million in byproduct credits, but offset by a $1.8 million decrease in expense production cost. And the all-in sustaining cost per ounce of silver, net of byproduct credits, was $9.46, up marginally compared to $9.25 in Q1 of last year. Increase primarily reflects the same factors that impacted the cash cost that I just mentioned, offset by a $2.7 million decrease in sustaining capital expenditures. Turning to our growth projects, we spent $2.4 million on the construction of the new tailings storage facility at Ying during the quarter, and as of June 30th, total expenditures incurred on the tailings storage facility and the new mill were $7.2 million. Construction is in line with the planned schedule and budget. At the Kuanping project, which is a satellite property north of Ying, environmental, water, and soil studies were carried out in the quarter. Reports from these studies are expected to be completed and submitted to the relevant provincial authorities for review later this quarter. In addition, we completed 84.6 kilometers or $2.7 million worth of diamond drilling over the quarter, contributing to the steady release of exploration news flow from multiple mines, mainly at Ying, over the past few months. With regards to the proposed acquisition of Celsius Resources Limited, which we had previously announced on May 15th, we put out a news release earlier this week. The exclusivity period we had with Celsius under the term sheet, which had been extended twice, expired on July 31st, with the two companies unable to negotiate a definitive agreement along the lines of what was contained in the non-binding term sheet. There are no negotiations ongoing. Turning to the OreCorp announcement, on August 7th, Silvercorp and OreCorp jointly announced the signing of a definitive scheme implementation deed, whereby Silvercorp will acquire OreCorp at a total consideration of 60 cents Australian per OreCorp share, comprised of 15 cents in cash and 0.0967 Silvercorp shares worth 45 cents Australian. The transaction will be completed through an Australian scheme of arrangement, very similar to a plan of arrangement in Canada. In addition to OreCorp board support, which represents 4.6% of OreCorp shares outstanding, the news release also noted the deal has received support from Rollison, which controls approximately 12.3% of the OreCorp shares, Rollison has provided a signed voting intention statement to OreCorp indicating that it intends to vote in favor of the scheme. Along with the acquisition, we announced that Silvercorp and OreCorp entered into a placement agreement whereby Silvercorp will acquire approximately 70.4 million shares of OreCorp at a price of 40 cents Australian per share for aggregate proceeds of approximately 28 million Australian. After completion of this placement, Silvercorp will hold approximately 15% of OreCorp, and this placement was done as a bridge financing to the closing of the acquisition, providing funding to commence resettlement activities necessary for the prompt development of the Nyanzaga project. While more details are outlined in the news release, I just wanted to make some key comments about this transaction. The Nyanzaga project adds meaningful resources to Silvercorp and contained in a project that we can apply our development skills to. Once built, Nyanzaga will make a meaningful contribution to our production profile and financial results while adding country and commodity diversification at the same time. And this acquisition takes us into a highly prospective district in the Lake Victoria goldfields and in Tanzania, a country that is receptive to foreign investment and development. And we think the above factors should lead to a re-rate for the company, unlocking value for all shareholders. We look forward to providing the market with updates on the progress of the transaction, as well as our plans for the Nyanzaga project over the coming months. And with that, Sylvia, I'd like to open the call for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star two. And if you're using a speakerphone, you will need to lift the handset before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question, which will come from Felix Shafigulin at 8th Capital. Please go ahead, Felix.
Thank you. Hi, Lon. Congrats on a good quarter. Just a very quick question from me. The year-over-year increase in the cash costs and all-in sustaining costs at GC Mine was... It says that it was driven by additional cost to run the XRT sorting system. Could you just give a little bit more color on that? If there are some issues with it, or you know, just any additional information on that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi Felix. Thanks for your question. I wouldn't say necessarily issues, but you know, bringing in something new into the flow sheet, getting everybody aligned and understanding how it works and how to incorporate it into the flow. Obviously, you know, takes some time and some extra effort. So I wouldn't say there's issues, but just some additional costs that we've incurred. From an observation standpoint, it looks like it may have made a contribution though, given that the grade did pick up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone. And your next question will be from Justin Steven at PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Hey, Lon. Good chat presentation there. I think you answered a few of the things I was going to ask anyways. But the one sort of left over here, Ying, particularly the mining cost on a per-ton basis dropped, obviously, at least pretty considerably. Is this the sort of thing, obviously the RMB devaluation has an impact there, but even this is a bit more beyond that. Is this the kind of thing that we're seeing the benefits of that sort of focus on lateral development as opposed to development at depth? And if so, do you think that that's maybe not quite sustainable at these low levels, but is there a chance to potentially come in at the lower end of the guidance in the per ton range?
Yeah, good question. Obviously, we're not in the business of forecasting the exchange rates here. I mean, I think I would, go back because there's a lot of factors that come into play, from year over year and quarter to quarter in terms of different elements. Can't speak specifically to that being a component of going shallower or falling laterally, as you indicated. I think that may have been part of the contribution to the change. But I would stick really with what we put out in terms of guidance, like for the quarters going forward and the year. And if there truly is what I would say a shift in thinking, you know, we'll update the numbers and give you you know, more granularity on that.
Got it. And I know the there's been sort of talked before, but is there a plan for the timing on a reserve and resource update, broadly speaking, for at least for the Ying District?
We haven't discussed that internally. Obviously, we just did one based off of that, you know, the big drilling we did starting in 2020, and that got published last fall. And obviously, we've put some new news out since then. There haven't been plans from a timing standpoint, and, you know, typically we've rotated between doing a, you know, a formal update on Ying 1 year and then GC the next and going back and forth. I think we'll have to have some conversations here to determine if the drilling that's been done that did not make it into the last report, as well as any of these other changes, you know, warrants an update. But at this time, you know, I don't have any set time and target, and we've not started currently to do an updated 43-101 on Ying.
Got it. And then just, you know, obviously, once Mill 3 does come in, is the plan just to I guess, accelerate the previous mine plan, pull from a few more stopes and faces to sort of meet the increased capacity there?
Yeah. And obviously, with number 3 coming on, number 1 gets shut down. So we do lose, you know, that contribution. But it's definitely a portfolio mix. You know, I mentioned Quan Ping with what's progressing there. I mean, I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic that we'll have an amount of disclosure, you know, relative to what we think that can contribute in terms of, you know, tonnage and grade to the centralized milling facility sometime later this year or early next year. So that will be a contributor. And, yeah, we're working through, you know, plans with respect to what we can add or increase or update for the, you know, the existing 7 mines across the 4 mining permits. And again, it's, you know, it's 7 mines across roughly 70 square kilometers. So there's, I think, opportunities to increase production at some of these existing ones and potentially looking at, you know, bringing on new areas. But a lot of the work has to be done, and we've, you know, we put out the disclosure that you know, this work has to get wrapped up into not necessarily the 43-101 you're referring to, but more the Chinese, you know, resource development plans that have to get filed to get permit approvals for that.
For sure. No, exactly. That sounds good. Looking forward to seeing then what the next couple of quarters bring.
Well, thanks, Justin. Appreciate the questions.
Thank you. Next question will be from Gabriel Gonzalez at Echelon Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, Lon. Just a question regarding the OreCorp announcement and the end of the Celsius exclusivity period. And I apologize if this was already addressed earlier in the call. I did jump a few minutes late. But I wanted to ask if the company will continue to look for acquisitions, or does the end of the Celsius exclusivity period and acquisition of OreCorp mean that for now it's OreCorp, sort of a one-and-done type situation on the acquisition front for now?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously OreCorp had the benefit of seeing what we had disclosed on the Celsius transaction, and they were aware of, you know, our activities there. They also know that, you know, we have ambitious growth plans for the company, and you know, that's part of the excitement and part of the reason to roll into the Silvercorp story with the transaction that we've announced. But, you know, certainly from a near-term standpoint, you know, getting the OreCorp transaction closed and, you know, being in a position to also post-closing of that deal provide a bit more updates as to the development of Nanzaga is the key priority.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And this concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Lon Shaver for any closing remarks.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Sylvie, and thanks, everyone, for tuning in today and for the questions. Please, if you have any additional questions, we'd be happy to address them at that time, and we look forward to updating you again on our next call for a second quarter results. Have a good day, everyone. Thank you.